In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Guys, the time has finally come to watch Vanderpump Villa, and Angela and I have been so excited to watch it since we heard that they were casting people to go to her villa and experience this luxury vacation. It's going to be good.
For those who don't know, Vanderpump Villa is Lisa Vanderpump hosting luxury travelers at her villa called Chateau Rosabelle in the French countryside. So we're going to get the drama from people going and staying at her chateau. And we're going to get the drama from the staff behind the scenes, and you know it's going to be good. They're going to be living together, working together, playing together 24/7.
We know our Bravo Docket listeners are going to love this because we know that you all like the finer things in life because you're listening to our podcast. So this is perfect for all of you listening because Lisa's staff is going to try and provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for the guests staying at Lisa's chateau, all the while trying to meet Lisa Vanderpump's high standards. And you all know Lisa Vanderpump has high standards. That is a high bar.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bravo Docket. Nothing major has happened in the legal world since we last issued an episode, but the new season of Beverly Hills premiered.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strong start. We received some questions as to whether or not we think the attorneys will be using any of the footage that they're recording, or our thoughts on how shady maybe the producers are being in light of the allegations against Tom and some against Erica. So what do you think?
I think they're being super shady and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I think they've always recorded stuff with Erica and Tom, and it just hasn't. Nothing they've recorded so far would be interesting if, I mean, nothing they've shown on this season would be interesting if we didn't know what was coming. But because we know what's coming, it has all this subtext. So I have a feeling like every season they've done this and then they just haven't used any of it because it didn't have any, there wasn't any real interest to it because Erica has kind of a flat affect and, you know, Tom is just, very professional. And she's acted the same way towards him for every season she's been on the show. So it's like nothing interesting. But because we know it's coming, it's hella shady and hella interesting.
It's so shady. Like, yeah, you're right. Them zooming up on the jewels as she's like about to put them on, that would have been boring and kind of grating had we not known about the lawsuits. Yeah. And they probably did leave it on the editing room floor until the lawsuit was filed in December.
Yeah.
Like, they probably weren't even going to include it. And then once that happened, they were like, put it back in.
Yep.
Get that back in.
Yep.
And a lot of the language that Erica's been using or that they've kept in that she's using has been really interesting. Like, when she was talking about how Tom was really slow and things were kind of starting to fall apart for him. But she wasn't talking about the fraudulent settlement money scheme.
No.
She was just talking about that he wasn't getting business, but that was like excellent foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Ugh, that first episode was so good. And then like I posted it on our Instagram, but how she said, was it like the word fraud or something? Or, and they zoomed in right on a photo of Tom and it was like, damn. Or dread. I think
dread.
She said dread.
Yeah.
Like, filled with so much.
These feelings of dread.
And it like paused and it was like, Tom.
Yeah. Like, and she talked about how, damn. Like, I mean, so we're both attorneys, like, and most of my work is trials and court appearances. And yeah, the courts were closed for a while, but they weren't closed for that long. They picked up Zoom pretty quick. I mean, they had to figure it out because of your right, like all the criminal cases, the right to speedy trial, it's a constitutional right. So they couldn't just let people sit there and not have court appearances.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting how she was like, so many attorneys are suffering right now. And I'm sure some were, but like one of my cases was stayed only for 3 months and the pandemic and one of my cases being stayed wasn't enough to financially ruin the firm, but it clearly was enough to financially ruin Girardi's firm because he was relying so heavily on the next big payment.
Yeah.
So
the Ponzi scheme was stopped.
Yeah.
So, and like he didn't have any reason. He couldn't say he was busy. He didn't have any reason to delay anything. So yeah, they're being really shady. I really like it.
Beautiful. But yeah, so then Luann is who our episode is about this week.
The Countess.
Luann, the Countess. The main, she's holding the middle apple in the opening credits. She's finally the star of New York.
In her head, she's always been the star.
True. So for those who don't watch, do you want to give a little info on who Luann is?
All right. So Luann is, she's been on Roni since the beginning, right? Like since the first season.
She's an OG. Yeah.
She's an OG and she was married to the Count, Alexander de Lesseps, or Lesseps, Lesseps? Luann de Lesseps. Okay.
I think she says Lesseps.
Luann de Lesseps. I think so. She was very hoity-toity in the first couple seasons of Roni. She was, you know, admonished Bethany for introducing her as Luann to a driver. She's like, I'm, that was, you know, just a little off-putting when you introduced me as Luann. I am the Countess de Lesseps. It's like, all right, Luann, we got it. You had some like really interesting facts in this outline. I did not know that they were married for 16 years. That actually makes the divorce a lot more heartbreaking. Like pulling back from my memory, when they were at like the Hamptons horse show, I remember when the Count didn't show up in time to watch, I think it was Victoria riding her horse and the hunters, and like Victoria fell off. And I remembered that. It was like clear that they were not doing super well.
Yeah.
I liked what you found about the Suez Canal, especially because the boat was just recently stuck there.
Right. It's very fitting. People have mentioned that he had some connection to the Suez Canal, but I didn't really know what it was. So he's a descendant of Ferdinand de Lesseps, who's a French diplomat and entrepreneur who built the Suez Canal and started building the Panama Canal. And Luann was the Count's fourth wife. I also didn't know that before researching
this. I didn't
know.
Yeah, I didn't know she was number four.
Yeah, and they like met after, or they were engaged after like 4 days or something after meeting. So it was like, 5 days, excuse me. I left out a day. 5 days after meeting. But yeah, 16 years of marriage.
Everyone I've heard has like said that when they've seen Luann in person that she is just shockingly pretty. Like everybody, like statuesque. All accounts.
Yeah. I mean, she was like an Italian model.
She gave up a career in Italian television. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, she's one of the only housewives who received that How They Became Housewives special. Like no one else has really had it since. I think maybe Portia is going to be having one of those. But yeah, so we only observed 2 seasons of them being married and then they ended up separating. But like Luann said that she saw it coming. Like he started growing really distant, but she thought that they would work it out. And he like emailed her to divorce. He was like, I found someone else and I want a separation. So that's how it ended. And like, I posed the question, like, what do you think would have happened with her had they stayed married on the show? Like, do you think she would be the Luann that we know today?
I think she would still act out. I think she has always had that over the top, wanting all the attention, cabaret persona inside of her. I think she very much enjoyed playing the Countess role, but the spiral that we saw her go down, I think she would have held it together just out of propriety.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think she would have been as cool. Like, we wouldn't have gotten the moments of, like, don't be all uncool.
Don't be all uncool. The pirate. We'd never seen her bang the pirate. The Pirate in the Caribbean.
Right. And those are the things that I like about Luann. Like her being open and like a little bit more relaxed. And I don't think that would have happened had they stayed together. I don't even think she would be on the show.
Yeah. Like, I didn't really care for her all that much. I thought she was interesting to watch, but I didn't find anything relatable about her when she was still married to the Count.
Yeah.
So,
her separation was actually good for us. Thanks, Luann.
I think it's probably good for her, too, because she's really being herself. Like, I feel like she's actually being herself, and she's not so much playing a role.
Yeah, that was the end of Luann. Well, no, not the Countess. The Countess title went away when she remarried. But,
so she gave that up for Tom.
Yeah, so after separating from Alexandre de Lesseps, she had that relationship with Jack on the show, Jacques, and then ended up...
He was kind of cute. He was kind of cute. I thought that was going to maybe work out. I didn't know,
Me too. I was really rooting for them.
What the deal that was.
I think he wanted children, and there was, something awkward with that, so it didn't work out. And she banged the pirate, so...
Oh, that's right. She was with Jacques when she banged the pirate.
Yeah. And she, spoke to someone in French, thinking that no one would understand, and was like, don't tell anyone I banged this guy. And it's like, okay, you're mic'd and we can find someone that speaks French.
Didn't they have the pirate on Watch What Happens Live?
Yeah, recently. But so after the relationship with Jacques didn't work out, she then met Tom, who was her next serious relationship, Tom D'Agnostino. And she, again, fell for him very quickly, even though he had a past with both Sonia and Ramona. And that was, part of the storyline that season.
Tom gets around, man.
Tom gets around. And he was, on the show pretty early on. He's, in the background and hits on, I think, Ramona or something. Yeah. So they were engaged in February 2016 and then wed later that year. So not even a year later, on New Year's Eve 2016. So February to December 2016. And then Luann announced they were separating less than 1 year after that in August 2017. So it was the marriage happened very quickly and then the divorce happened very quickly as well. But that all played out on TV, and that's kind of not new news. And then 4 months after they announced they were separating, August 2017, she was arrested in Palm Beach, which was that news came out on Christmas Eve. And I remember seeing it and being what just happened? That's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. Also, it's not that easy to get arrested in Palm Beach. there's not that many police there.
It's the rich playground.
You have to make an effort to get arrested there. You have to try. Because also
it's also Florida.
It's Florida. Yeah, I know. I grew up there. Not in Palm Beach. I grew up in the middle swampy part, but
it's also Florida. People already are Florida. And then Palm Beach is you're rich, you're wealthy, you get drunk and you go out. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so when this arrest happened, the police report was published. It was all over the place. And unfortunately, it's been since taken down.
I put in a request for it, but they didn't get back to me. I did.
Well, yeah, a lot of articles and stuff quote directly from it. And we have the video that they posted on YouTube. So we know what happened. And she's essentially admitted to it. She's never denied that this stuff didn't happen.
Right.
So what happened, for those who don't know? So Luann was in Palm Beach partying it up on Saturday, December 23rd. She was staying at the Colony Hotel in room 327. Luann and a male companion stumbled into room 407 late in the night, thinking that it was their room. And I looked up the hotel because when I pictured it, I don't know why, I pictured a Hampton Inn. I don't know why. My head went to
What makes you think that the Countess would be in a Hampton Inn? I don't even think there's a Hampton Inn in Palm Beach.
I know. I don't know why I didn't think cute boutique hotel. And this place is adorable. I highly recommend looking it up and staying there. It's very pink. The whole thing, the outside is pink and cute. And it doesn't have that many rooms. So the fact that she ended up in the wrong room. She didn't really have that many to choose from, and she ended up in the wrong room.
Well, I mean, her and the dude ended up in the wrong room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so they both got it wrong.
Right. And there was someone in the room. The housekeeping was doing turndown service at that time and was like, you're in the wrong room. Like, so she had multiple opportunities to realize this wasn't her room. Like, first, the fact that there aren't that many rooms to choose from.
And then also, their stuff wouldn't have been in the room.
No. Yeah. So many things. Like, housekeeping was like, get out of here. You're in the wrong room. But also, like, why did they do turndown so late? Just a random aside. Like, it was pretty late in the night. Anyway.
I bet they were making noise. They got called to that room. Here's my thought. So I tried, like, again, I tried to find the police report. I read as many snippets of it as I could find.
Yeah.
They, you know, the Palm Beach police did not make it a priority to get back to me. But, like.
How dare they?
I know. I'm telling you, they don't have a ton else to do down there. There's lots of stuff they could be doing, but they're not arresting
the rich white people. Oh, that's where the Epstein stuff happened, too. Not to deviate even further, but yeah.
No, but he's gone now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I saying?
I don't know. I'm sorry. You tried to get that report.
I have a theory. Yeah. After reading all the snippets, I have a theory. So I think that, like, they came back. They go into the wrong hotel room, which I mean, to be perfectly honest, when I was in law school, there was one night that I got so drunk. I almost pulled a Luann. I was living in like little townhouses and they all looked exactly the same. And so I had gotten back after like being out drinking, like this is my third year of law school. It was like cold and it was wintertime and I pulled up in the driveway and I grew up in like Florida. So I thought when I pulled on the door and tried to put my key in that the door was frozen. Like that's what went through my head. I was like, it did not occur to me that like I was like the door. Okay. It's so cold outside. The door is just frozen. The lock's frozen. So I started kicking the door. Like, cause I was cold and I wanted to go inside, like kicking it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I see my roommate drive up in the driveway, like across the street and I pulled up to the wrong house.
Oh my God.
With a case of beer. And I was like trying to unlock it and like, kick the door open. Yeah. So,
but had you been arrested, I don't think you would have pulled a Luann.
No.
But I get the confusion.
Like, I also think if I got in the house, I would have realized it was not our house.
Right. Like right away.
Like pretty quickly.
And if a cleaner came and was like, you're in the wrong house, you probably
would have left. And if someone walked in and said, this is not the right house, I'd be like, oh, look, none of our stuff is here. My cat isn't here.
Right.
And
yeah, but Luann was like so adamant probably that she was in the right room that it just like, well, what happened was the housekeeper had to go get security to like get them removed and they still refused. Like even after that.
I bet she wasn't very polite to the housekeeper either. No. Probably.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, and notably, I just got a note. This was like nearly a year after she was married. So like she got married the year prior New Year's Eve. So this was like around the same time. And she said it was the first time she had been in Palm Beach since her separation from Tom.
Oh.
So she
Do
was
we
like,
know who she was with?
No. The guy? It's probably good.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. And I was like trying to figure that out too. Because she also had a friend that came in and tried to get her out of the room as well.
Yeah, because the friend with the video, I'll post the video on our website in case anybody hasn't seen it, maybe with a couple timestamps. But like when she's in the police car, like the in-car video, you could hear the friend trying to like talk to the police. And then Luann's like, but it's a female friend.
Yeah.
So I don't know who.
The male dipped out. The guy was gone. Like, he peaced out before the cops came, like legitimately. Yeah. When the cops came to the room, it was just the girlfriend and Luann had locked herself in the bathroom. So not only was she like told she was in the wrong room, she like doubled down, stayed in the room and was like, this is my room going into the bathroom. Like, girl. But so if you stay at the Colony Hotel, I highly recommend booking room 327 and then getting blackout drunk and then trying to go into room 407 to live your full Luann fantasy. I just want to throw that out there. And that is not at all like, don't say I told you to do that, but it'd be kind of fun.
If you want the experience,
if you want the
Luann experience, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
But we're not saying you should do it.
No, but I might do it. Oh, this is something else I wanted to say. The hotel, another thing she should have known, each room is a different decoration. It has like different themed rooms. So she went into, it's not like you're walking into, you know, like a Holiday Inn or whatever, and the rooms all kind of look the same. Like, she full on went into the wrong, like, decorated room. Like, she got it totally wrong. So it's not like your story either, where the townhouses were all the same. Like, she legit was, like, not in the right room.
The only thing she got correct was the hotel.
Yeah.
She went to the right. She went to the correct hotel. That's
it.
That's
all she got. At least she made it back. Yeah, we're up from wherever she was, like, partying it up. But her behavior was awful. Like, you'll see in the video, if you watch it, and Angela, you just watched it, gets put in the back of the car with handcuffs. Apparently, she, like, kicked an officer on the way to, like, getting put into the car. She gets out of the handcuffs. She, like, does, like, a...
Which is impressive. Which, by the way, it's annoying because even in the terrible, terribly lit in-car video, Luann still looks great. She looks great.
Like, even
her
in
bone structure looks great.
Yeah. Even in court
she looks
the next
great
day.
Slipping out of her handcuffs. Like, I had not seen the video. I hadn't ever watched it. And so I was like, damn, dude, like, she looks good. And then I'm like, oh, she's getting out of the cuffs. Like, she's getting out of it. And then she got out of them.
Yeah.
And then she, like, gets the window open. I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I was impressed.
She's
not
got
gonna
some,
lie.
She's got some balls. Oh, yeah. And then she also told multiple officers she was going to kill them all. That's
and
like
she does tell
quote.
The officer that she's, like, in handcuffs in the back. She gets the handcuffs off. And then, like, gets the door open even. And then the officer, like, makes her put the handcuffs back on. She's like, I'm going to kill you. And her friend is like, you can hear her friend in the back. She's like, don't say that. Just stop. Don't say that. Like, it's.
So she was arrested on felony charges of battering an officer, resisting arrest with violence, and crimes against a person. So that was three felony charges.
And just so people know, like, felonies are, everyone knows, like, a felony is bad, but felonies are extra bad. Like, you can't vote, you can't own a gun. That you're like, when you apply for a job, they are allowed to ask you if you've been charged with a felony. I mean, people talk about, like, misdemeanor, like, oh, I got a DUI, or, you know, mm-hmm. disorderly conduct, or, you know, Tinsley trespassing or whatever. Like, and a misdemeanor, honestly, is not that big of a deal. But a felony, even for something that isn't violent, that was maybe seemed relatively minor at the time, can really mess up the rest of your life.
Does she have to disclose that she was charged with the felonies even if she entered into a plea deal?
No. So, if she pled to a felony, yes, mm-hmm. then she has been convicted of a felony. You don't have to admit if you've been charged. And, I mean, I'm just speaking generally and, like, most, I'm not giving out legal advice, but generally you don't have to, like, say that you've been charged with a felony. But if you have been found guilty or pled guilty to a felony, that can really... That's a big deal. So mm-hmm. if you have an opportunity to plead your charge down to a misdemeanor, even if it's three misdemeanors, you'd probably rather do that than one felony.
Got it. And yeah.
Not giving out legal advice, though. But
not legal advice. Yeah. But then she was also, like, charged with a misdemeanor, charge of disorderly intoxication. So yeah, she was charged with three felonies, one misdemeanor. But they were third degree felonies. Like, what's that?
There's lots of different jurisdictions that have degrees of felonies, just like there's degrees of misdemeanors. Yeah. So,
like, murder,
you know, it's just, yeah, degrees of murder. And so that just goes into the charges and how the sentencing works and whatever. First degree is generally always worse, just like thinking first degree murder. So a third degree felony would be like a lower level of a felony.
Okay.
Fun fact, tampering with a wildlife and game trap set by a Florida wildlife and game official is a third degree felony.
So oh.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So, I have a story about that. It wasn't me.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So her felonies, like battery on a police officer, is a third degree felony, and it was punishable by up to 5 years in prison or 5 years probation and a $5,000 fine. So I think that was the same sentence she was facing for the other ones as well. But like I said, she ended up pleading. She was taken to county jail at 1:25 a.m. that night. And she appeared before the court the next morning, which was Christmas Eve. So she only spent one night in jail.
And she still looked good.
Yeah. And she did. She did still look good. She was, like, in court wearing a little, like, flowery summer dress. And that was recorded as well. Like, I don't know if you've seen that video. That's on YouTube.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the judge was like, you might have a drinking problem. And she was going to respond. And the judge was like, I'm going to recommend that you don't answer me on that or fight me on that because you're going to make things worse. Like, she was about to be like, no, I don't. And he was like, just don't even talk.
My husband was joking because we were watching something on TV and like the lawyer was like telling their client, like, just don't talk. And he's like, I feel like that's what you guys always say. Like, you're always just telling your clients like not to talk. And I'm like, yeah, because they can all like they're not. It's not gonna help.
No, like, never helps.
You just like no, don't.
Yeah, totally. Stay silent, and that's what we held a Clubhouse room. Hey, we're on Clubhouse where I think we were asked, is it weird that Erica's talking out and like Jen is talking out, and it's like, yeah, they should be quiet.
Yes.
Oh my God, Jen Shaw never did my cameo. It expired today. Yeah, I ordered a cameo from Jen Shaw just to see. It was supposed to be for my friend's baby because they watched Salt Lake City together. So congratulations on the birth of your baby. Unfortunately, Jen Shaw she just let it time out. She didn't even deny it. She just let it time out. But
so you don't have to pay for it, right?
No, they charged me and I get stupid cameo credits. So now I have to buy another one. Like, I didn't get my money back. I just have credits to buy another cameo. But, like, what the hell, Jen Shaw? Don't you need the... Why are she you on cameo? Yeah.
She needs the money.
Yeah. So I'm a little salty about it. I really wanted to see what she was going to say. All it was congratulate them on their baby. But...
Well, she shouldn't be talking on cameo about anything or on social media or saying anything to anyone all ever. But
that's what I was going to say. Maybe she didn't do it because she's finally listening to counsel, or like maybe they're telling her to get off of it, to not speak. But
as I say, I looked up her attorney and he's like incredibly well respected and a very good attorney that has tons of experience, and she needs to, if whatever he's saying, she should be listening to it.
Agreed. But yeah, so the judge told Luann, like, don't answer that, which is like good advice.
Yes.
So she was released shortly before noon that day, so Christmas Eve, in large part because she had no prior offenses. So she reached a plea deal in August 2018 in which she agreed to perform 50 hours of community service, attend 2 Alcoholics Anonymous meetings a week in New York, and attend a Mothers Against Drunk Driving Victim Impact class. Luann was also required to write an apology letter to Deputy Stephen O'Leary, who was the officer I think she kicked. Yeah, so like in between that, though, she ended up going to rehab like shortly after the arrest for 21 days. And then that was kind of like the months of hell for her. It was like...
Yeah.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, you know what I don't miss at all? Period. Pain, the cravings, you know, just the moodiness. Trust me, I get that. And so I want to talk to you about a product called Estocontrol.
It's a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, which is a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estrogen Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DOCKIT at checkout. Happy Mammoth also has the Bloat Banisher, which I've been trying, and it helps just make my tummy feel a little bit better throughout the day, especially when I'm just having really bad snacks or I'm stressing out. It's nice to have something I can reach to that helps me out a little bit. But again, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DOCKIT at checkout. That's D-O-C-K-E-T, DOCKIT at checkout. But because we're lawyers, we do want to remind you that these statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But yeah, go check out Happy Mammoth. I've enjoyed it, and I'm sure you will too.
So she was like arrested in December 2017, and then she didn't reach her plea until August 2018. So she had a really big chunk of time in between where she could still keep drinking. She wasn't legally prevented from it or prohibited from it. So I think she did.
She pled guilty to 3 charges: battery, trespassing, and disorderly intoxication. I think those are all misdemeanors.
Yeah, it was just regular battery. Because, battery on a police officer battery. Is the felony. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. She pled guilty to 3 misdemeanors, avoided a felony charge, which, like I said, is important.
And she avoided jail time. She only spent one night in jail.
Yeah.
Despite, like, last season speaking at that, like, event with women who had been incarcerated. She was like, I remember being in jail. Yeah. It was one night. It was only one night. Not even, like, a full night.
Yeah, I remember that. Luann's attorney that she hired was actually the same attorney that Tiger Woods used when he was in trouble for some drunk driving behavior in Florida. And her attorney worked it out so that she could enter her plea in absentia. Absentia is a Latin term meaning in the absence. It just means in legal terms that legal proceeding can take place without the person, the defendant, actually having to be there. It's fairly uncommon, but it does happen. I think, obviously, having a very good attorney and money, and then Luann being in New York, her attorney in Florida was able to make an argument that she should be able to enter the plea in absentia. Also, the judge probably didn't want the media circus that would occur if she did actually have to come back. So it was probably actually a good deal for the court, too. The next deal that Luann's attorney was able to work out on her behalf was the fact that the court would withhold adjudication. So that's a special sentence in which the judge orders probation but does not formally convict the defendant of a criminal offense. In other states, it's called like an SIS, which is a suspended imposition of sentence. It's actually, in Florida, it's Florida Statute 948.01, and it gives Florida judges the authority to withhold adjudication after the judge imposes a probation sentence. And then after the probation is completed, it's like you weren't even charged with a crime, so you don't have anything on your record. It's a really good deal. A lot of jurisdictions will do these types of things with your first DUI. And again, it's sometimes it's called a diversion, sometimes it's called a suspended imposition of sentence, and then in Florida, they call it withholding adjudication. So if Luann hadn't messed up her probation by drinking, it would have been like she didn't even have a charge on her record if she was able to complete the entire probation without any probation violations.
So she ended up completing her 1 year of probation in August 2019, but she had some hiccups. So she had to submit to testing throughout that whole time. I think it was like a breathalyzer test, and she talked about it on her season. I think it was season 10. But she was caught drinking 2 mimosas at the end of April 2019. And she said she only had 2 mimosas after one of her cabaret shows. And so she ended up having to go back to court May 2019. And she was facing jail time, and she ended up arguing that that was too extreme. And so they ordered her to take anti-drinking medication and wear a breathalyzer device and attend counseling. She actually violated her probation twice. The second time, she missed an AA appointment But I don't think that one changed the conditions of her probation. But the drinking two mimosas did. And then, oh, fun fact, the officer who arrested her, Stephen O'Leary, the one that she had to write an apology letter to, he was arrested on July 2019 on 17 counts of official misconduct, 12 counts of false imprisonment, 9 counts of false statements, 8 counts of tampering. This feels like the 12 days of Christmas. And in Martin County Sheriff's Office. So it was a different county. But interesting. Her arresting officer.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, he kind of seemed like a slime ball when he was arresting Luann. I mean, Luann deserved a lot worse than she got, honestly. And if she had not been a privileged white lady, she would have gotten, that's just a fact, she would have gotten a lot worse. But he seemed kind of a bit slimy in that video. So that did not surprise me at all. Should we talk about the crime of battery on a police officer? Like,
I mean, what it is?
Yeah, what it is. And so I think a lot of people may not know, because I think logically you would think if you're the police have all of the, training and guns and weapons and tasers. And so, you know, I think people think if they push even just back a little bit at a police officer, that's not going to be, obviously that person that they're pushing with has all the weapons and the training and whatever, but it is actually far worse to push a police officer than it is to push someone's grandma. Charges are much worse. You could go push someone's grandma over and get charged far less than what you get charged if you just poke a police officer in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, battery, they call it assault and battery against a LEO, law enforcement officer. That's pretty much every jurisdiction has that. And in Florida, it's an intentional strike of an officer, and you have to know that the person is a law enforcement officer. So if you go and do it to somebody that's undercover or isn't in their, police officer clothing, then that doesn't count. But the charges are always far worse than just a standard battery.
Yeah. And I think we talked about that in our first episode, actually, with Monique and Candace, when we were going through the battery, the statute.
You're right.
Yeah. We talked about battery on a police officer and battery with a weapon and how with a weapon, it has a higher degree or a higher charge. And it's funny, now we have an example, battery on a police officer.
Yes.
So thank you, Housewives.
Luann knew it was a police officer.
She didn't know it was her room, so.
No, she definitely knew it was a police officer.
I know. It's also interesting to me they have she was charged originally with resisting arrest with violence, and there's a charge in Florida, resisting arrest without violence, and they have different, charges.
So. Yeah.
Hers was with violence.
She did resist arrest with violence.
It was with violence, yeah.
Yeah, she did all of these things.
Yeah.
This isn't they're throwing the book at her. It's no.
No, she's legit.
Everything she did meets all of the elements of every part of the charge. When I was prosecuting, it's you would have the elements of the charge, and you'd have to make sure you proved all of them, and you go through the police report and make sure there was something there that proved all of it. This one would be really easy. Just check, 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 check.
I know.
She did all of it.
Yeah. It's a law school fact pattern when they're hey, tell us. For those who don't know, in law school, most of your tests, it's just one test at the end of the year. And especially in torts and stuff, they give you this, or in crim law, a huge fact pattern. And it's what would you charge them with? Or what crimes were committed? Or what elements?
How would you counsel this client?
Yeah. And you have to write it all down. And it's the most ridiculous things. You're at a baseball game and you're watching, and then someone hits it and hits you in the head, and then you fall over and
it's and you just choke on your hot dog, and it's
who do you sue?
And then the doctor.
is operating on you, leaves a knife inside of you.
Exactly. a knife inside of you.
Oh God. Yeah, they're always so ridiculous. But yeah, this one would have been an easy one.
Yeah, oh God, there's a softball question.
Yeah. If I was a professor, I would do this.
So they actually have a class in
You said Georgetown, right? Or
yeah, the University of Georgia, I think, or like the
Georgia,
about like they have a law school class where they talk about like Candy Burris and like all of her lawsuits. It's like, come on, man, why did that didn't exist when I was in law school?
someone that I think listens to our podcast did a CLE with Housewives.
Which oh, really?
Is like one of the continuing legal education classes with Housewives, which I think is amazing. And I would take that. Yeah, so she pled, she was arrested. I'm going to go through the timeline again because now I want to talk about the in-between time. So she was arrested December 2017, goes to rehab January 2018, out of rehab January 2018. Then she has this like summer of interestingness and then goes back to rehab in August 2018 and then sentenced August 2018. In the in-between time, she kind of spiraled. I'm not going to lie. She kind of spiraled. It seems like she did.
Yeah.
She gets sued in July 2018 by her children and her ex-husband, Alexander de Lesseps. So the main guy, the Suez Canal connection man that made her countess, a prior countess. In between as well, she... And this came out in, I think, season 11 or season 10 when Bethany is just screaming at Luann about her, like, behavior. So sued July 2018 by her children. I'll get into what happened. But, like, in between then, she becomes really manic and fixated on buying a house in upstate New York. And manic is a word that Luann used, so that's why I'm using it here. She said she got very manic. She had to buy this house in upstate New York. She decides to put her house in Sag Harbor on the market for $6.25 million. She lists it. And that's kind of what triggered the lawsuit by the children and the dad, or her ex-husband. So she ends up like calling all over the place, trying to find a loan for $6 million. One of the people she calls is Dennis, Bethany's late ex-boyfriend, tries to get a loan to purchase the house. There's like the story, I don't know if you remember when Bethany was like yelling at her, it was in Cartagena. Bethany starts screaming at her about like Luann was like running in a nightie through a field in the Hamptons. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like what was that? Do you remember?
So, she'd been talking about how she's manic about the house, and there's an argument about something, Bethany helping her or something like that. And Bethany was just like, you were running around in your nightie in the Hamptons, like, in the dark, being... And I think it came out at the reunion, actually. I think that's when, this stuff came out that, you know, Bethany was, like, trying to, like, help her. Because I know Bethany ended up paying for her rehab and then was, like, upset that she didn't stay the whole time. Because she left the rehab that Bethany paid for early.
Yeah. But Luann didn't make it to the reunion because of the rehab. Like, she was in rehab.
Yeah. Because she was calling up people, asking them for millions of dollars to, like, buy a house.
They had to have, like, an intervention with her.
Yeah.
I think the reason Bethany ended up getting so upset, though, was because Dennis died 2 weeks after the intervention with Luann. Or very close to that time. And I think she was like, you're selfish. Like, we put in all this time into you and you never like asked me about Dennis. You even asked him for money and like,
right.
You know, so that.
Yeah. You talked to him when you wanted money, but you,
And it was, that was really dark from my opinion. Like, I think that was probably the darkest like New York got. It was uncomfy.
Yeah. I didn't like the stuff with Bethany and the divorce either. Like that was hard to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was uncomfy as well. Yeah. And then shortly after her rehab stint and like the reunion, then she pled guilty to those charges that you said. And then she started her 1 year probation. So that was kind of like the in-between time and the timeline of that. But the lawsuit, just a high level of what happened in the lawsuit. So Luann was actually sued by her children and Alexandra de Lesseps, so her ex-husband. But it wasn't like it doesn't seem to me like her children like were the ones filing it. Like, so essentially it was a claim of like a breach of the divorce settlement between Luann and the count. And they were just like third party beneficiaries under the settlement.
But no, I think they were actually parties to the lawsuit, but they had to be parties because they were the ones that had the claim, like. So, like, they had to be listed as parties because they're the ones that would have suffered damages because that money was supposed to go to them. So they would be the damaged party that would have the claim for relief. But it was part of, like, the contract was part of the divorce, like, for how, like, the agreement was part of the divorce settlement. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then, like, what was supposed to happen under the divorce is that he, Alexandre, I'm probably saying it, butchering his name.
It sounds good. Sounds good, however you're saying it.
He, under the settlement, gave Luann the deed to a Bridgehampton house that was in Bridgehampton and was to create a trust for her two children from that house. And she was supposed to fund the trust with an undivided one-half interest in the marital residence, so the Bridgehampton house. So they claim in the complaint that Luann never created the trust, and instead she ended up selling the Bridgehampton home in November 2014 for $8 million and then purchased her Sag Harbor home for $3.1 million, which the Sag Harbor home is what we see on the show now. Mm-hmm. And half of the proceeds of the original sale were supposed to go into the trust. So essentially, like, Luann ended up taking the proceeds of the original Bridgehampton house, and most of that money, I think, is gone. And then she, like, never listed the children on the new Sag Harbor house as owners of the home. So it was, like, double whammy. But the thing was that this was going on for a while, because that first sale of the house was in November 2014, and they were divorced a long time ago. So she should have set up the trust a while ago. I think just the fact that she had listed the Sag Harbor house in July 2018 kind of triggered them to file the lawsuit and, like, do something about it to get her to stop. Yeah. And then before we started this, I asked you, like, would an injunction here have been recommended, like, to get her to not go through with selling the house?
I mean, yeah, that's probably what you would do. So an injunction is a court order requiring a person either to do or to cease from doing something. And there's three types of injunctions. You'd file a petition for a preliminary injunction to say, stop them right now from doing this. And then you would, like, file for a permanent injunction. But you can't get the permanent injunction until after you go through, like, a hearing and the whole proceeding, and both sides have a chance to marshal evidence. So you would want to get the preliminary injunction first. And to do that, I've had several trials over that. A lot of times it does happen over real estate issues. And so you would file the request for, like, it can be like a preliminary injunction or a temporary restraining order, but to get it, you have to show that you are more likely than not going to succeed. And then you have to show that there is, like, an immediate need for it. And then you have to show that, like, if this doesn't happen, there isn't an adequate remedy at law. And so for, like, especially like a real property interest, a lot of times, like, that's the only remedy, is to prevent that from being sold, and then that, you know, that money going somewhere, or the property, the real property that's, like, a particular piece of property being transferred or split or whatever. So that's probably what you would want to do in that circumstance, is go ahead and right away get that temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction to stop them from doing something.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting with injunctions, how you said you have to prove that you're more likely than not going to win, because you haven't even gotten to...
They call it, like, a substantial likelihood of success. So you have to at least plead facts that show that you do have a legal claim to what you're saying, and facts that would show that you have a substantial likelihood of success in, like, succeeding on the merits.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if they did that here, but in the end, it all cleaned up. It was all fine. Like, Luann said in April 2019 that they ended up dropping the lawsuit. She said it in an episode of Watch What Happens Live. And it's kind of unclear, but she essentially insinuated that they all use all properties. So she ended up actually buying a house in upstate New York, but it wasn't the house that she needed the $6 million loan for. And it's actually unclear if she needed the $6 million loan to buy the house or to, like, repay the trust
money. I don't know. I get the feeling these people have so much money that it's kind of... like, they're kind of like, eh. Like, you know.
Mean like the count or Luann?
The count.
Yeah.
And Luann seems to be doing just fine as well.
Yeah.
Like yeah, she doesn't seem to have, like, the issues Sonia has. Like, we're going to do an episode on Sonia. And so I started pulling stuff for that. And man, our girl's got some problems.
Yeah. But that's probably why they waited so long to file anything. You know, they don't really need the money right now.
This isn't going to make or break anybody. These kids have enough of a, you know, like, They're not going to be destitute if they don't have this money in the trust. It's just like that was part of the divorce agreement that it was to go to them. And so she wasn't keeping up her end of the deal. But no one's
They probably
going.
Also did it because they were worried about her. Like, as like a real, like, we are serious. Like, get your ass together. Like, you know.
Yeah, so. Like, stop messing around. Like, you have to do these things. And, I mean, also maybe they just didn't want Luann, like, getting the house and then selling it and then buying a new house with, like, whatever new husband or boyfriend she has at the time, you know? It's like, this is money that should go to the kids, or the kids should be part of this property. This isn't just yours to just do what you want with.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think she was also the complaint, or what I can allude from articles about the complaint, said that she was trying to sell her Sag Harbor home for, like, less than it was worth, like, undervalued it. Still, I think they were, like, concerned that she was just trying to get rid of it to buy that, because, you know, she was manic about the upstate New York $6 million or whatever house. So, yeah, they probably wanted to, like, prevent her from selling it for less than it was worth as well.
Yeah.
But now she has sold her $1 million home upstate and I think is back to enjoying Sag Harbor. So good for her. She didn't sell it.
Well, and now she has her condo or apartment in New York where she can see Tom's.
She always seems to be moving, though, like, in New York City. Like, she's moved apartments a lot. Which is interesting. And this one also doesn't feel settled, I'll just say. Like, it feels...
It does look really nice, but it seems like she moves, like, with boyfriends or, you know, like...
Yeah.
Luann's that girl that's your really good friend until she gets a boyfriend and then she ditches you for the boyfriend.
Yeah. She is. It also might be that she has that Sag Harbor house, so she feels like, you know, she has her grounding somewhere. She's okay moving around in New York more. But I wouldn't know. I don't have a Hamptons house.
No, it's hard enough getting a house in Austin.
Yeah, but that's that. That's the legal tales of Lou.
I mean, Lou's like, I mean, she did go through a lot. And I will say she did have a lot of white lady privilege with at least the charges and the way that was handled and the stuff like that. But, like, violating her probation, I thought that was pretty standard. I used to do, like, the probation violation dockets, and I remember getting annoyed because, like, the judge would never put anyone in jail. Until we had, like, a pro tem judge, which would usually be, like, one of the public defenders, they would take over, and they would have, like, just so much pent-up annoyance with various clients for always lying to them and not listening to them. And so the pro tems would send people to jail for violating probation. But I'd sit there and be like, can you just not smoke pot, like, while you're on probation? Like, you know you're going to get drug tested and it sticks around, man. It's not like like cocaine or something that can, like, wash out of your system. Can you just not get high? Like, your probation's over in, like, 6 months. Like, come on. Just don't smoke for 6 months.
I'm like, wondering, please. With Luann violating her probation with the two mimosas. So it was like,
how did they know?
She had to do her breathalyzer like 3 times a day or something. Do you remember that?
So she had one with her that she had to blow in, not just like when she was trying to drive.
Yeah.
Because, like, in-car ones are annoying, but people would just get, like, their moms to blow in it for them.
Yeah. Like, no, she said on the show, because she talked about it. She was very open about it. I think that she had one that she had to blow in 2-3 times a day or something, and she knew it was coming up, and she was like, shoot, I drank. You know?
Yeah.
And so she had to do it. But it was, I think, end of April when she did it, or, like, early May. And then the lawsuit with her kids was July 2018. So I'm wondering maybe if there was, like, she heard rumblings or something of a lawsuit, or maybe she was, like, really going at it with her kids and her ex-husband, and it pushed her over the edge.
I mean, she really got hammered. Like, in more ways than one. But I do think she managed, and she handled it with her characteristic. Luann, just, I thought she did do a good job of at least acknowledging that she messed up and then trying to be sober, admitting. And, like, she, like, Luann does, like, admit, like, all the New York women, I feel like they admit when they do something wrong. Like, they
it's
admit.
It's amazing. It's so refreshing. I
it's
love that
so
about
refreshing.
Them.
And then they get over it. Like, it was funny watching Ebony talk about it on, like, this season. She's like, these women go at each other. Like, they go at each other. And then 10 minutes later, if someone apologizes, they're good. She's like,
that's
I've never
it
seen
it. Should be.
That is how it should be.
But yeah, that's that. Do we know what our next episode is going to be?
So we haven't decided because, like, I've been working on the Sonya one, but it's so in depth. And then with the stuff going on with the Manzos in New Jersey, I started pulling that stuff up. And I kind of maybe like to talk about that. But we just did, like, a Jersey episode. So I don't know. There's so many interesting things to talk about. We could do another New York because our girl Sonya's got some stuff. I didn't realize how bad the stuff was with her lawsuits, like with the movie. And then also there was like the bankruptcy. Also, I looked it up. Our girl Sonya had two different judges rule for her twice saying she does not have to pay her bankruptcy attorneys. There's a bunch of stuff going on with her. So I don't know where we want to go because like there's so many interesting things to talk about. I didn't realize all the mob ties with the Manzos. That's like, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. I mean, there's always something to talk about.
Well, we'd let the listeners vote on this one. So maybe we should have them do another vote if we can't decide.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, thank you for listening.
Hope you learned something about, you know, resisting arrest.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Bravo Docket is part of the Acast Creator Network.